Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 will be our text again tonight. I told you last week we're going to talk this evening about the devil made me do it. We've got a lot of folks here tonight that have this Flip Wilson theology. Anytime they have problems, they blame it on the devil. The devil made me do it. And we're going to look once again at the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. And we're going to see how Jesus dealt with the devil. And tonight we're going to look about how to overcome temptation. Why no Christian need say, the devil made me do it. And I know every one of us tonight would like to know how to overcome temptation. And we're going to see in the lifestyle of Jesus how he met the devil head on and came out victorious. Now we live in a day when it seems as though good and evil is very confused. We have a phenomenon in America today where people are actually worshiping Satan. And I find that a bit confusing. Seems to me we're supposed to worship the good guys and not the bad guys. But in our society, some people are very confused between what is good and what is evil. And I've noticed that it's affected our culture in such areas as our literature, our movies, our theatrics. It seems as though you go to a movie or to a play or read a book these days and many times the bad guys turn out to be the good guys. And we don't live in a society where it seems as though evil is being punished and it looks like the devil is winning. I think that's one reason John Wayne is so popular. You know, I read an article about John Wayne the other day and somebody was asking why John Wayne in his 60s, why his movies are still box office draw. And John Wayne was answering and he says, I think it's because in my movies, the good guys always win. And you go to a John Wayne Western, you just know that no matter how many bad guys there are, old Duke's going to come out smoking on top. It doesn't make any difference. He's going to win. And the reason he's going to win is because the script is written that way. He owns the company. And he sees to it that in the script that he always wins and that evil is always punished. I love him for that, you know? Because we live in a society where things don't seem to be that cut and dry. But you see, a John Wayne movie follows the script and you know before you go that the good is going to win and that evil is going to be punished. Now the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome the devil. And the interesting thing is that the Lord Jesus always followed the script. And Jesus' script was the Word of God. And you see, the Bible says that Satan is always overplaying his hand. He thinks he's going to win. And many times the devil overplays his hand. Have you noticed this? And God just lets him overplay his hand. I think of an illustration. I heard a preacher talking the other day about Moses. You see, Satan thought he was going to get rid of baby Moses and stop God from raising up a leader to deliver Israel from the Egyptians. And so Satan got into the act and he saw to it that baby Moses was captured or was given away and was taken by Pharaoh's daughter and raised up in a pagan culture. And I think what the devil thought was that he had really got Moses now and he had stopped God's plan. Because after all, Moses was going to grow up in a pagan palace with a pagan king. And this preacher said all God did was let the devil pay the diaper bill. Satan always overplays his hand. He did this with the Lord Jesus on the cross, didn't he? Satan thought he had really defeated the cause of God when he nailed the Lord Jesus Christ up on Calvary's cross. But you see, the interesting thing about the Bible is all of God's victories start out looking like defeats in the beginning, don't they? And they call it was a dark day when Jesus died on that cross. And I imagine the devil was laughing just thinking he had really done something. Then came Easter morning. Praise God. And the devil knew he had got it in the neck again. Now you see, Jesus followed the script. And if we can just learn how to follow the script, we too can claim his victory. Now, I want you to see something else. Satan always follows the script. He only has 3 bullets in his gun, 3 arrows in his quiver. He only has 3 knocks on the human heart. He has 3 temptations and he always follows the script. And the Lord Jesus knew that. So as he entered the arena, He went into the wilderness, praise His name for you. He went into the wilderness, praise His name for me. Jesus plowed a path through the forest. And He says, I want you to watch me follow God's script. You watch me deal with the devil, and I will teach you how to come out victorious. Now the Bible tells us we have won the victory. In James chapter 4, verse 7, there's a very interesting sentence. It says in James 4, 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now there is victory, isn't it? Submission to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Now I want to say one sentence right now that I want you to really tune your mind in on. The Christian's one offensive weapon against the devil is the word submit. The only weapon we have is submission to God. And this word submission is a military term. It means to subordinate yourself to the authority or the rule of another. It means to be in obedience. It means to be under someone who is an authority over you. Like a sergeant is over a private, and the private is in submission, subordinated to the authority of the officer over him. That's what this word submit means. Now, the Bible says if you want to win victory over the devil, submit yourselves therefore to God. Jesus took the word of God and he submitted himself to God. And as we look at the temptation of Christ, we're going to see how Jesus submitted in obedience to the authority of God and won the victory over our three basic appetites. What are they? Body, soul, and spirit. Physical, mental, and spiritual. Our physical passions, our personal possessions, and our personal ambitions. Now watch what the Lord Jesus did. Let's begin reading in Matthew chapter 4. And we're told that Jesus, led of the Spirit, went into the wilderness. Verses 3 and 4. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now notice Satan said, if thou be the Son of God. And he was making an appeal to Christ's deity. But there's great strength in Jesus' answer in verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. He did not say, the Son of God shall not live by bread alone. Satan made an appeal to Christ's deity, and Jesus answered him in terms of his humanity. And what's so beautiful about this is, Jesus did not fight the devil in his supernatural deity. He fought him in his manhood, because that's where you and I have to fight him. Isn't that right? In our physical needs, every one of us have physical needs. Every one of us have a need for bread, food, shelter. And bread symbolizes all of the physical needs of life. And when Jesus met the temptation for physical needs, physical passions, he did it in terms of his manhood, and he submitted his manhood to the Word of God. That's point number one. How did Jesus deal with the physical temptations of life? By submitting himself to the Word of God. And Jesus answered, it is written, quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 3. He submitted himself. Now, what was Jesus saying? He was saying that if you want victory over the physical passions of your life, the lust of the flesh, you must submit your flesh, your body needs, to the Word of God. And God has promised to make provision for your physical needs in His Word. And one of the greatest verses in the Bible that has blessed my life is found in the Old Testament. And you know what it says about bread? The righteous shall never be found what? Begging bread. Isn't that marvelous? The righteous will never be found begging bread. That means God's man, God's woman, God's teenager will never have to do without physically. Boy, that's exciting. That's a promise in the Word of God. And when Satan came to tempt Christ to turn stones into bread, Jesus was starving to death. But God had promised in His Word that His Son would not starve to death. He said, I will meet your needs. Did you notice the Bible says that Jesus fasted for 40 days and then he became hungry? While he was submitted to the will of God, led of the Spirit to fast. He never had one hunger or one thirst during that whole period of submission. Isn't that beautiful? Only afterwards does it say, then he became hungry. And what was this temptation? Satan came to him and basically was saying, God has not provided for your physical needs. You're starving to death. And therefore, you need to go out and provide for your physical needs in your own strength. Now, you see, this shows us something about the devil. The devil has a very low view about life. He thinks that your life consists of bread. I get tickled at the evolutionists. You know, they say that man evolved. But the truth of the matter is, if a man lives for physical passions alone, he devolves and lives like an animal. If you go out and do your own thing physically, with the physical needs of your life, you will live like an animal, and that's the way the devil sees you. He does not see you as a creature created in the image of God for fellowship with God. He sees you as a pawn to be used, an animal to be used in his hands, and he tries to tell you that the only things in life that are important are physical things. He has a low view of life. And all he talks about are your physical needs. And he says, oh, if you just had three meals a day, if your life consisted of bread, you'll be happy. Listen, friend, you can die on a full stomach. Right on? Sure you can. And your life does not consist of just bread. There's more to life than just food and sex and physical things like that. I think it's interesting to note that Jesus quoted from the Old Testament. Now, I want you to see, Satan always follows the script, and Jesus knew that. Satan has no new tricks in his bag. Now, why did Jesus quote from Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 8? Well, you see, the book of Deuteronomy, young people, is Moses' walk down memory lane. As an old man, Moses wrote the book of Deuteronomy looking back upon Israel's experience with God in the wilderness. And the background of Deuteronomy 6 through 8 is found in Exodus chapter 17. And if we had time tonight to read Exodus 17, we'd discover that the children of Israel had followed Moses out of Egypt into the promised, into the wilderness, and they were dying of thirst. And as they were dying of thirst, they began to question whether God was going to meet their physical needs. And they were being attacked by the devil, and he was questioning and causing doubt, which is his weapon. He was causing the children of Israel to doubt whether God was going to meet their needs in the wilderness. So what the children of Israel did, they began to murmur against Moses. They began to complain to Moses, and they said, you've led us out here to starve to death. We're dying of thirst. And Moses answered them in chapter 8, verse 3, when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now what Jesus did, he answered him the same way Moses did. Do you see that? Moses was saying, or Satan was saying to the children of Israel, God is not providing for your physical needs, or you would not be dying of thirst. And Moses answered and said, God has promised to meet our needs. And man shall not live by bread alone. We shall trust God. And every word that comes out of God's mouth is true. God will meet your needs. So what Jesus did, he looked up the script, the word of God. Satan's coming to him the same way he came to the children of Israel. And Jesus defeated him the same way Moses did. Now, I want you to notice something. Victory over the devil does not come just by quoting the Bible to the devil. When I was a teenager growing up, I heard a great sermon. Well, I think I read it by one of the world's most famous preachers on the temptation of Jesus. And he said that when the devil tempts you, quote Scripture to him. Just like Jesus did. Quote Scripture to him. Well, I said, that sounds great. So, man, I began to memorize me some scriptures that dealt with certain temptations. And you know, like you're out there in the parked car with this girl, and she thinks you're the greatest thing on wheels, you know. And it's so hard to contain yourself when they think you're so wonderful, isn't it, fellas? And when I began to be tempted, I'd quote the Bible. And, you know, I'd go down quoting Scripture, boy. That's right. Hey, man, you're just laughing to keep from crying, because you have too. Listen, the secret is not in quoting the Bible to the devil, but Jesus was submitted to the Word of God. He was submitted to the authority of the Word of God. And that's the secret. Not whether you can quote the Word, but whether you live by the promise that God says the righteous will never be found begging bread. Now let me apply this. Jesus was in the wilderness starving to death, even as Israel was in the wilderness starving to death. And my friend, any wilderness you go through in your life, any wilderness you go through, if you will submit that physical passion, that physical need, to the Word of God, God has promised to provide for that need. Amen? Would you let me say a word about sex? We live in a society that says, do your own thing where sex is concerned. And I believe that the weapon that Satan is using to destroy America is this physical passion of sex. And you know what he's saying to us? He is saying, set your own standards for your date life, teenager. Set your own standards for your courtship. Set your own standards for your marriage. Set your own standards where sex is concerned. But he does not tell you to submit your sex life to the Word of God. And therefore, many young people, and even marriages today, are falling apart at the seams because they did not submit their sexual passion, which is one of our physical needs, to the Word of God. Now, I believe that if you would submit your sexual appetite to the standards of the Word of God, rather than sex doing a number on you, it becomes a beautiful blessing. But the devil has bound us by trying to get us to turn stone into bread. See what the people of Israel did in Exodus 17, verse 7. When they didn't have any water to drink, they began to think God had deserted them, and they said, is the Lord among us or not? Hey, young lady, some of you girls getting to be old maids. You're 19. And I bet you're beginning to wonder. Nobody seems to be interested in you. And you're beginning to think, is the Lord among us or not? And you know what the temptation is? It's for a young gal to go out and take her courtship in her own hands and not submit that need to the Word of God. The temptation is to go out and try to get you a man the world's way. And he'll bind your life and wreck your life. Am I telling you the truth? You see, victory over all of our physical needs is doing what Jesus did, submitting our physical needs to the Word of God. He said, Satan, even though I'm hungry, even though I'm out here in the wilderness, even though God led me into this wilderness, I believe God will meet my physical needs. Isn't that wonderful? All right? The second great need of your life is a mental appetite. It is the desire to have things, possessions, career, attainment, many of these things. Satan came to Jesus, as recorded for us in verses 5 through 7. Then the devil took him into the holy city and stood him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Now notice, now Satan's going to quote the Bible. He's now a theologian. He's subtle, this guy. So he's going to quote the Bible. He said, well, you quote the Bible to me. Let me tell you what the Bible says. He will give his angels charge concerning you. And he's quoting Psalms 91, which is a messianic psalm concerning the Messiah. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And he led him up on the pinnacle of the temple, said, cast yourself down, because you say the Word of God says to provide for your needs. Well, right here it says, if you cast yourself down, he'll provide for your needs. He will not allow you to be crushed upon the stone, but his angels will come and bear you up. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy 6:16. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, what does that mean? I think to tempt the Lord your God means this. It means to presume upon God's goodness and to trade upon your relationship with Him. You see, here's what Satan said. Jesus, now you say you're the Messiah, but you're not doing too good.
in your messianic campaign. I mean, look how God's running your life. I mean, he led you out here in the wilderness. Now, that's not where the Messiah belongs. The Messiah belongs before the eyes of the people. Your career as Messiah is just kind of stalled. Your campaign is not getting anywhere. Satan says, let me be your PR man. Let me be your agent. And I can just see it now. We'll have a poster spread all over Palestine, the man who was saved by an angel. And boy, the people will come hear you, so cast yourself down and do this great thing. And boy, I'm telling you, your career will take off, it'll skyrocket, and you're a shoo-in as the Messiah. That's what he was saying. He was appealing to Jesus in the area of his desire to have recognition, to have success, to have his career. Now, I want to tell you something tonight that I think is very important. I think the hardest thing for any one of us to accept is God's will for our life. The hardest thing for anybody to accept is God's will for our life. I think because of this old Adam nature that we have, this selfish nature, we somehow think that we can plan our lives better than God can. And many times we see the will, God's will, as an invitation to catch smallpox or become polluted with leprosy. And you know, we think if we do the will of God, we'll never smile again, God will put us in a straitjacket, and we're never going to be happy. And what Satan was saying was, let me run your life. And I'll give you possession, career, success, things. I'll give them to you. Let me run your life. And notice Jesus goes back to the experience in the wilderness in Exodus 17. Satan had tried that out on the children of Israel. And in Exodus 17, Israel had complained to Moses. And they had said, in effect, we need water. And God is not giving us water. He led us out here. You said, Moses, it was God's will for us to leave Egypt. But look where we are. Is this God's will that we die of thirst? You see, Satan led them to question, to doubt the will of God as a nation. And Moses answered by saying, thou shalt not test, thou shalt not presume upon the goodness of God. You shall not trade upon your relationship with God to put him to a test to prove that he loves you, you see? And that's what it means to tempt God. We're to believe that God has promised to run our lives, that his will is good and acceptable, and we don't have to put God to the test to prove that. And the Bible says that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And what Satan was saying was, man, this looks what mess God's got you in. And the temptation was for Jesus to begin to manipulate his own career, begin to work out his career his own way. When I came to Hollywood in 1969, I've had the privilege of meeting some people in the acting business. And I have a preacher friend who went to school and grew up with a man who has now become the number one sex symbol in America. In 1969, not very many people had heard of this actor. He had been on television, made a movie or two, but he wasn't the big name that he was then. And this pastor told me, as he came out here to Sunset Strip to visit with us for about a week, he said, I want you to pray for this actor. He said he's very close to being a Christian. So I began to pray for this actor in 1969. And then I heard from this pastor a few months later, and I said, how's your relationship with this guy going? And is he about to be saved? And he says, no. He said, in fact, he was down here in Florida not too long ago, and here's what he told me. He said, I'll tell you why I'm not going to become a Christian. Because if I did, it would ruin my acting career. If I followed Jesus, I couldn't, and I'm quoting him word for word, if I followed Jesus, I can't take my clothes off in the movies anymore. A year ago, he was the first male centerfold in Cosmopolitan. In 3 years, Satan has given Burt Reynolds a great career. And you see, there is this temptation for us to manipulate God's will for our lives, to make our things happen, to make our career happen, to make our success, but to do it the devil's way. It's that desire to have the roar of the crowd, popularity, achievement, all of these things. And you see, what the devil tries to do is to dissatisfy you with the way that God is running your life. You know what we're to do? We're to trust our careers, our possessions, our things to the will of God. We're to trust them, we're to submit them to the will of God. What Jesus said to Satan was, in effect, I don't have to test God. I know God will provide for my life. And I am going to turn my career, I'm going to turn my life over to the will of God. I submit myself not to my will, but to God's will. Jesus put his life under the authority of the commander-in-chief. And that's what we must do. Thirdly, Jesus won victory over the devil by submitting himself to the worship of God. He not only submitted to the Word of God, the will of God, but he submitted himself to the worship of God. Now let's look at verses 8 through 10. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And Satan said to him, all these things will I give you. Now we have already established that Satan had the authority to give it to him, didn't he? That authority had been turned over to the devil when man sinned in the Garden of Eden. If you'll fall down and worship me. Now here's what I want you to see. This is what the devil had been after all along. The thing that he had been after all along was to get the Lord Jesus to worship him. Satan has a God complex. He wants to be worshipped. And my friend, every time he tempts you, it is not because he is some kind of little supernatural nymph who just likes to tease people. Every temptation that he brings to your life ultimately has this end in view. He wants you to worship him. You say, well, Barry, you mean if I yield to a temptation, that means I'm worshiping the devil? Look at verse 10. Listen to Jesus' answer. Jesus then said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and here's the word I want you to circle, and serve him only. Circle the word serve, draw a little line up to verse 9, and circle the word worship. You catch the point? Jesus is saying, him whom I serve is him whom I worship. To serve the devil is to what? Worship the devil. Jesus said, if I submit my personal ambition, if I submit the pride of life, if I submit the need in me for recognition and all of these things, if I submit that to you, I am therefore not submitting to God. If I put myself under your rule, under your authority, I am therefore worshiping you. You see, we work for him whom we worship. Now, if I wanted to make you folks mad tonight, boy, I could do it real quick. The quickest way I know to make a person mad is to tell him that he worships the devil. If he thinks he's a Christian or thinks he's a good guy. You know, there are many of us here tonight. You may be nominal in your commitment to Christ. You may not be nominal in your commitment to the church. But if I were to sit down and talk to you about the occult tonight and about this revival of Satanism, man, you'd be vehement against it. But did you know the Bible says, Jesus said, if a man serves sin, he's a son of the devil. The Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans that him whom I serve is him who is my master. If I serve sin, Satan is my master. My friend tonight, if daily in your life your desires to do, to have, and to be, your body, soul, and spirit are being subjected, submitted to Satan's rule, you are worshiping the devil. And he has bound you and defeated you. And in his plot to overtake the world, you have already been sucked up, you've gone down for the count, and he's got you. It's just as plain as that. You see, I think our great temptation tonight, all of us, is when we get out of this church and go back to our daily life tomorrow,
Our great temptation is to go back to our homes, to our schools, to our places of business, and to forget Jesus Christ. That's our great temptation. And when we get out there in the world, Satan offers us the kingdoms of the world. In your little office where you work, there are the guys who tell the filthy jokes. And businessman, it's your temptation to forget about Jesus Christ and to just be one of the guys and to have an identity. You forget about Jesus Christ and you go along with it. It happens to all of us, doesn't it? Let me ask you a question tonight. I'm serious. I want to prove a point. I wonder how many of you are here living in Los Angeles, but you came from a small town back in the sticks somewhere. How many of you came to Los Angeles from a small town? Let me see. Hold your hands up. Look around you. There's a lot of folks. You know, I've made an observation about folks who come to California with their mattress on top of the car. And that observation is this. There are many people who grew up in godly homes where the Bible was taught, where Christ was honored, grew up in Sunday school and church, but they struck out for the big city. They came to the Golden West, to California, to strike out their fortune. They moved into the big city, and when they got here, there are many people who got swallowed up by the bright lights of the kingdoms of this world. And when they did, they left Jesus Christ back in that small town. There's some of you here tonight, you're not serving God the way you did back in that small town. And what Jesus was offering, what Satan was offering Jesus Christ, was all of this. This identity, to make it in this society, to be groovy, to be with it, to be accepted, to be cool. But our Lord overcame this by submitting Himself to the worship of God. And I say to you, victory over the devil comes when you submit yourself to the Word of God in your physical appetites. You submit yourself to the will of God in your daily needs. You submit yourself to the worship of God for your identity. Now let's look at it in conclusion. How can I overcome temptation in my life? Jesus took His physical, mental, and spiritual appetites, and He met Satan's temptation by submitting to the Word of God, the will of God, and the worship of God. Now you and I must follow the script to be victorious. If you're going to win, you must follow the script. You take your physical appetite. Satan is going to come to you this week, and he's going to appeal to you about bread. And my friend, I'm convinced of this. Statesmen, economists, and people who study human history say that the next world war will be fought over what? Bread. As our population is exploding, as more and more of our natural resources are being consumed, and less land is available to feed the people, the world's next great war will be a war over physical needs. And you think the devil is going to take advantage of that? He's going to zero in on this temptation. And if we're going to win the victory, I mean food on the table, a place to live, a way to pay your bills, your sexual needs, your need for shelter, and all of these things. How do you do it? Boy, when Satan comes and he knocks on the door of your heart, you better have the right answer. When he knocks on the door, do you know what you need to say to him? Satan, God has promised that the righteous will never be found begging bread. God has promised in His Word that no Pharaoh can fall to the ground without his notice, and that He's promised to put clothes on my back, food on my table, to meet my physical needs, and I'm going to submit myself to the promises of God and the Word of God, and I command you to flee. Praise the Lord. He'll go. And then He comes to you with your need to possess. And He'll try to run your life and try to tell you what job to get, tell you whom to marry. He'll try to be God and play God's will for your life. What do? You submit yourself to the will of God, and you say, Satan, I believe Father knows best. I believe my Heavenly Father knows best. And I may be in the wilderness right now, Satan, and it may look like God has forgotten me, and it may look like God is not among us. But I tell you, God is among us. He is here with me, and I submit myself to the will of God, and He will flee. He comes to you in your identity crisis,
in your need for recognition, your need for position, what do?
You submit yourself to the worship of God. You give yourself to God. Jesus said, he who would save his life must lose it. You give your life to God. You give yourself to God, your need for recognition to God. And you submit it to him and you worship God. And out of that, Satan must go. You say, Barry, does it work? You know, it really does. Because God has promised, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. You go out into the world this week, you have three basic needs: body, soul, and spirit, physical, mental, and spiritual. What are you going to do with them? Submit them to the Word of God. Let him run your life by his Word into the worship of God. Give your life to him.